It was not that long ago that we talked with a ProPublica reporter about some reporting they've been doing, and that is about the number of tickets, for various reasons, that people in Chicago will accrue, how much debt they build up. They can't pay off those tickets. They find themselves in a world of hurt. The city of Chicago is owed a lot of money, but by a lot of people who are unable to pay it. And it becomes an extraordinary financial burden for these people. One of the reporters who's been writing about this is Melissa Sanchez from ProPublica, and she joins us again on WGN. Welcome back to the studio. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me again.
What's the news on this story?
So I'm really happy to report that finally in the past couple of weeks, there's been a number of aldermen and other city leaders and the city itself have made some proposals to make the city's ticketing and debt collection system less terrible for poor people. So among the proposals, the city clerk, Ana Valencia, has proposed making city stickers, a vehicle sticker you need to buy for your car, available in payments, so you can buy it 4 months at a time. So it's cheaper at the beginning to get one. Alderman Burke, the most powerful alderman in the city, proposed overhauling one of the most important punishments that the city has, which is taking people's license away. So now the city, if this goes through, the city would no longer be able to suspend people's licenses without considering their income first.
Describe for me an instance. What are we talking about here? Give me an example of somebody who has tickets and what happens to them.
So a woman I wrote about earlier this year is Laquanda Renault. She's in her mid-20s, has a kid, works full-time, is a student full-time, got a lot of tickets, including a lot of city sticker tickets, these $200 tickets for not having a city sticker when she was a teenager. As a result of these tickets, she's made a minimum wage for most of her life. They doubled, tickets in Chicago doubled, $200 times two, plus 22% interest, $488 times a few tickets is a big debt. When you accrue enough of these tickets, the city gets the state to take away your license. They take away your car. So it becomes more complicated to drive and work and live like a good, well, even pay off your debt.
I know that. It seems insane because some people literally will not have the means to pay these compounding fees, but then don't get a ticket. What do you say? Like, why didn't she have a city sticker?
Yeah, I mean, like, and that's the kind of the thing that we've wrestled with this entire time. There's like this moral outrage at this very idea that I get from a lot of people, like, just don't get tickets. Don't be a bad driver. But a lot of these are not tickets for bad driving. They're tickets for being too poor to buy a city sticker in the first place and for living in a neighborhood that's over-policed. What we've found is that Black Chicago is simply more ticket than white Chicago.
Yeah, but that's because there's more police officers called into or that serve in Black neighborhoods, right?
Right. So if you have a shooting down the block, then there's a higher likelihood the police are going to be in your neighborhood and they're going to spot you.
It's good that the cops are there.
I don't know if I can say that.
Well, I'm going to say that. And then I'm also going to say then, and as there are more police, say, per capita in those neighborhoods, then they are more likely to notice some sort of violation.
Yeah, and I think kind of the thing that I've been thinking about a lot is that these violations have absolutely nothing to do with public safety, and police are spending taxpayer dollars enforcing what's basically a tax law. Folks aren't buying a city sticker. That's a municipal tax.
Well, do you think it is relatively high in Chicago, either the fees or the penalties?
Yeah, for sure. So what we've found is that no other major U.S. city has such a thing as city stickers. The tickets themselves are really expensive. The
now, you said that
expensive.
Last time, if I may. Said that last time, and then my phone lines lit up with people in the suburbs who are
listening.
In
the suburbs. I said major U.S. cities.
Okay, so they don't. So Denver does not even have a city sticker?
I'm pretty sure, no. If it's in the top 15, that's what we checked.
And if anybody does, okay, well, then that is what that is.
Yeah,
and then $200 sounds relative. What is a city sticker?
The city sticker, depending on the weight of the vehicle, is between like around $87 and $135.
Okay.
So a smaller car is like $87
a year.
Okay,
so then we have this system, if you will. You better. It's not just the stickers, but just as a, for instance, if you can't pay the sticker or if you can't pay the fine that you've incurred for that violation or for a parking violation, now the meter's running. It's going to compound with penalties, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're on the wrong side of the eight ball. Now you get behind. And your reporting was that some people are $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 in debt, right? People who do not have the means to pay it.
Right.
The city is owed, of Chicago, you said, a couple billion dollars.
It's such a gigantic number that it's not realistic to think the city is ever going to collect on it. The city, there's no statute of limitation in Illinois for this kind of debt.
Well, that's the thing. So moral outrage notwithstanding, this just doesn't even sound like a practical thing for the city to engage in. You're not going to get the money. Stop carrying that number. Let's figure out what a... I'm not saying people should get off. I'm saying, what's a reasonable way to police this?
Yeah, and so some cities are starting to think about this issue. I think that the city needs to reassess the structure of fines and penalties. So there's another proposal by a different alderman, Gilbert Villegas from the Northwest Side, to reduce those late penalties. So instead of a ticket doubling, it would go up by 10%. So instead of 200 times two, it would be $220 for a ticket. I think more broadly, the city needs to look at how it's enforcing these different ordinances, and there's disparities that are really significant.
Well, let's talk about what's happening in Chicago. Anna Valencia is on a phone line. She's the city clerk. She's talked with us about a number of topics, including the city ID, but also this issue before. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hi, John, and hi, Melissa. Thanks for having me. Sorry I'm not there in person.
That's okay.
But I'm so happy to be joining your conversation.
You've heard us chat just now. Based on that, what do you want to say first?
No, I think it's great. I want to first give Melissa a shout out and WBZ and ProPublica for actually doing this due diligence and research and sharing it with our office. I know they came to meet with my team in July, and what I think is so important is they pointed out things that government needs to be aware of unintended consequences of policy decisions that we often make. And so I think it's great that we're able to review that and then work with them and community leaders and the people that have been pushing, advocating for a lot of these changes to find out what can we do from just even my office as only one piece of the puzzle or one part of the solution. It's not the whole solution. There's a lot more work to be done, but I think we're moving in the right direction. And so I was happy to work with them and try to develop a solution that was going to help families that are really, to your point, these are people who want to be in compliance, but they may not know about it, or maybe it's a language access barrier. But we have to have a solution that once they know about the city sticker and have to get the city sticker, that there's an affordability for them in our office.
Is the city sticker too expensive out of the gate?
Well, I think it just depends on who you talk to, right? It's all based on your perspective and your lived experience of whether you can afford 87, 82, the one-year sticker, that's the four-passenger vehicle that we mostly sell, or a two-year city sticker, or is it something like I talk about this with my own father. My dad, you know, we growing up lived paycheck to paycheck based if he had enough work that winter, and so he would want to be in compliance. My dad would never not want to pay a tax. But if we had an option that was a four-month city sticker, like a payment option, that it allows more families that may be at that cusp of working families to afford a city sticker.
Oh, yeah. Well, so you're talking about
based on your own experience.
Are you talking about letting people pay it off of over 4 months, something like that?
Yeah. So you would basically come in our office. You would buy the four-month city sticker, which would be $29.28. You would leave with a city sticker. Now, you would come back in 4 months or online and buy another four-month city sticker. So you would still leave with a city sticker, so you wouldn't be...
Oh, I see.
You wouldn't be hit. But there's another component to this. One, there's an education component and making sure, like I said, about language access and making sure we have, like, text alerts and other ways to allow people to know the renewals up. And third, we want to get people to come in the office. So we're looking at a forgiveness program next year when we launch the four-month e-sticker that would allow people to come in, kind of, you know, wipe their debt from our office and allow them to get on a plan, whether it's a four-month, a year, or the two-year e-sticker.
You know, so some of our texts include, if you can't afford the sticker, then don't have a car. Somebody else said, John, I needed Tylenol yesterday. I didn't have a dollar to go to the dollar store. I'm on fixed income. So for some people, while you may roll your eyes at the idea that you don't have 80-some dollars to buy the sticker, some people literally don't have $80 to buy the sticker or pay $200 if they're due a fine. What is Ed Burke saying about all of this?
So Ed Burke, who may or may not be running for re-election next year and wants to appeal to tax to folks in the city, is proposing to substantially change the city's practice of suspending driver's licenses over unpaid tickets. So the city would no longer be able to do so unless, you know, if the person says, hey, I have, I can't, the reason I'm not paying the tickets is because I can't afford to, and they show some sort of proof of income, in which case the city would make its existing payment plans a lot less terrible. And I say that because right now, if you owe substantial debt, to even get on a payment plan and pay off your debt, you have to pay $1,000 toward that debt. And if you're talking about people like the folks I've been interviewing who make less than $1,000 a month sometimes, then that's just unrealistic.
Oh, really? So they'll say, all right, we'll put you on a reduced payment plan, but you have to put $1,000 towards the debt first. Is that what you're saying?
That's what's currently happening. So what Burke is proposing is, and the existing plans, none of them include debt relief. I mean, you have to pay off every nickel that you
owe. Should we do that?
I think so. I mean, the more I learn about this, some of this debt, I think, was probably unfairly created by inequitable enforcement policies. But what Burke is suggesting is that before you suspend somebody's license, take their income to account. If they're poor or low income or middle income, then instead of requiring that $1,000 down payment to get on a payment plan, allow them to get on a payment plan immediately and pay just a portion of their income.
Well, don't take their car. I mean, now you're guaranteed that person has no income, or right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't understand that. What do you think, Anna, about forgiving some of it? The city doesn't have that capacity right now, but should we just say, all right, half of it's gone or some percentage of it is gone to help people?
Well, I think two things. One, I think the one solution we came up with in the city clerk's office is just one, to address one population and one part of the problem. And to your point, I think the worst policymaking you can do is in siloed approaches and piecemeal. So what I think what the next step needs to be is working with the aldermen and community advocates who've been pushing for this and different departments that touch fines or fees to come together and really comprehensively look at this. So if you move a lever here, what does that do? And if you move a lever here, what does that do? In a holistic approach. Because if you try to legislate one area, you may cause another unintended consequences somewhere else. But I think we should definitely look at that. That is why we want to do this month of forgiveness program in our office, because we do realize that people may have so much debt within our office that they may not be able to get into a compliance program. So we want to at least give them it, kind of wipe the slate clean and allow them to get into compliance. And so I think there's many things we need to look at, and we're just now scratching the surface, and we need to take a deeper dive. And if you look what the work San Francisco did, we've been talking to San Francisco and people out there that have worked on this and been trading different ideas, and I think they've started to really move the needle on this.
I see people with boots on their cars sometimes. What's the cost and consequence of that?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I think it's about $130 or so to get the boot off of your car. And then if you don't get it off in 24 hours and the tow truck comes, and then there's new fines, there's a towing fine plus the boot fine, then plus a $20 a day storage fine. I was just going through some of this data with my pal Elliot BZ yesterday. The city tows something like 90,000 cars. About 30,000 of them are for the so-called scofflaws, the people with debt. And what's kind of crazy, what I've been trying to figure out how we can put into a story, is that if your car has been booted, towed, taken away, you couldn't afford to get it out of the impound lot, the city has like now sold it for scrap or basically given it away to the company.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe the company sold it for a couple $1,000, whatever. None of that money goes back towards your debt. You still owe the city for the cost of crushing the car, the boot.
Really?
And so there's like, it's a huge messed up, probably, you know, I don't even want to go there.
But I got a solution. Ladies, we'll close on this. Just give me a reaction to this. How about the city of Chicago get rid of the sticker program? Other cities are getting along without it. It's a bureaucratic nightmare, and people don't love complying. Could we find another way to generate $80 per car owner or something like that? Could it just go away? What do we think of that?
I mean, it's like the clerk's going to know better. Maybe it's like $130 million a year in revenue. So I think it would be tough for politicians or for city leaders to agree to do that. But I think that we ought to be considering less regressive ways of generating revenue. And this is definitely a regressive tax.
What about that, Anna Valencia? What do you think?
So we bring in $125 million in revenue a year and fund 10 departments. So I don't want to say getting rid of one thing is going to solve the whole solution, because it's sometimes not always that. So we have to also remember that if we want, you know, mentoring services for our young people, we want, you know, things for our school, the park district, or actually it fills a lot of our potholes, we have to figure out the revenue piece. I definitely agree it should not be on the backs of the most vulnerable in Chicago. And so we need to look at all these practices and ways of redoing our policies. Do we need to lower the penalty to get into a forgiveness program? I met this young mom on the south side, and she was telling me she went to the city and she had $500 to get on a payment plan that day, but she, to get to the threshold was so high, she needed $2,500. And so we just turned her away, turned her revenue away, and not even allowing her to get onto a payment plan. So I think we have to look at everything before we just say, let's just get rid of that, that's going to solve the problem, because realistically, I don't think that's the case.
I'm glad you're talking about this. I'm glad Ed Burke is talking about this. And Lord, we're all thankful that ProPublica continues to report on this. Nice to talk to you, Anna. Thank you for your time, and we'll catch you in the studio next time. Okay, you bet. Bye now, and thank you for doing what you're doing. Keep us posted on this, all right?
Thanks for having me.